Just before his death in 1543, Nicholas Copernicus published his theory that corrected a long-held belief about our planet's place in the heavens. Initial curiosity by the establishment, including some power brokers of the church, unfortunately succumbed to the prevailing wisdom of the day that the earth revolved around the sun and not the other way around. Excuse me, that the sun revolved around the earth and not the other way around. When Galileo picked up Copernicus's theories a few decades later, and we must mention with less diplomatic tact than Copernicus had shown, Galileo was convicted of heresy, compelled to recant, and lived the rest of his life under house arrest. The heads of the church could not handle this new information that implied we humans weren't quite as special as they thought. Despite the definitive nature of Galileo's proofs, and despite further corroboration by other reputable scientists, the establishment for many years shut its collective eyes, covered its collective ears, and said, "We're not listening." Humans have always fallen victim to the particular notion that we each exist at the center of the universe. Just examine some common occurrences if you need evidence. When a young man of a certain disposition goes courting, an observer might say, "What does he think he is? God's gift?" When doctors are accused of playing God, it's often because their own egos have driven them to risky procedures. When the cult of celebrity that grips this country hails the triumphant return of a professional basketball player as the second coming, or heeds the flawed advice of a low-wattage movie star concerning childhood vaccinations, then we're all left to wonder why we don't have such personal clout. And to top it off, how many of us have been told, when trying to insert ourselves into a friend's troubles, "This isn't about you"? Thinking we are, or we should be, the center of the universe is just part of the human condition, but it's a part of the human condition in continual need of rehabilitation. And in today's gospel reading, John the Baptist gives us a lesson. Recall that one of my favorite things about the gospel is the fact that people rarely answer questions the way you expect them to. The priests and Levites come to John when he is baptizing in the Jordan and ask him a simple question: "Who are you?" Now, note how John could have answered as expected: "I'm John, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah from down yonder a bit. Favorite pastime, baptizing with water. Likes include locusts and wild honey." But that's not what John says. "Who are you?" they ask. And what does John do? He tells them who he is not. "I'm not the Messiah." His rejection of messiahhood throws his questioners for a loop, and they start grasping at straws. "Are you Elijah? Are a prophet? Tell us who you are." If a cult of celebrity exists today, then a similar one, albeit less fed by the fawning media, existed in John's day. False messiahs cropped up all the time, attracted followers, and then lost them just as quickly when they couldn't deliver the goods. That's why at the beginning of the gospel, the establishment doesn't much worry about Jesus. They assume he's going to fade into obscurity like everyone else. Indeed, John's denial of messiahhood was much more newsworthy than claiming it would have been. So with John refusing the identities that the priest and Levites try to pin on him, they decide to ask him point blank, "What do you say about yourself?" They need an answer to bring to their superiors, but John never gives them satisfaction. Even when asked specifically about himself, John doesn't take the bait. He deflects the attention from himself and shines it on the one who is to come, saying, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." John has no delusions of grandeur. He knows his place in the universe. He knows he is not the Messiah. And he also knows his right relationship to the Messiah. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. John embraces an identity based in Jesus' Messiahhood. John is the herald, the special voice that captures people's attention and turns their eyes to the coming king. "What do you say about yourself?" they ask. And John responds with something like this: "My identity is based on the identity of the true Messiah. I am the voice, the herald, the witness. I am the arrow that always points to the one who is coming after me." John continues to display this identity throughout his short time in the gospel. When his disciples see Jesus the next day, John the arrow points and says, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." He risks losing his own followers because he knows it is not his place to have followers. Later, he repeats that he is not the Messiah, calling himself instead the friend of the bridegroom. John has now heard Jesus' voice, so he proclaims, "My joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." How in touch with his sense of self must John have been fully to embrace his identity as the arrow pointing to Jesus? How many of us would have felt jealous when our turn in the spotlight was over? How many of us would have tried to extend our 15 minutes of fame? But not John. John knows he has no light of his own. He is the moon reflecting the light of the sun. And so are we. The lesson we learn from John the Baptist today teaches us to delve within and discover our own true identities, the places in this universe where only you and I were made to fit. None of us was made to be the center of the universe, even if the human condition tries to trick us into believing that to be true. Our true identities are gifts from God. Therefore, when you fully embrace your identity, when you try it on and it fits better than your favorite pair of jeans, then you will find yourself spontaneously pointing to the true center of the universe, to the true light of the world. Like John, we are arrows pointing to God. I invite you this week to list out all the different facets of your identity and pray about how each one connects back to the one who makes you who you are. Here's a snippet of mine to get you started. I'm a husband and a father. The love for my family that fuels these pieces of my identity comes directly from the love of God. I'm a priest and a pastor. My service to God and others springs from the call Christ places on my heart. I'm a singer and a writer. My inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit's creativity living within me. As I continue to list out facets of my identity, I see this pattern continue. I am who I am because of God's presence in my life. Claiming and proclaiming that presence makes me an arrow like John the Baptist. And not just me. Each of us is an arrow pointing to God. Each of us is the moon reflecting the light of the sun. Copernicus and Galileo knew the earth wasn't the center of the universe, but they had no idea how far away from it we actually are in space. Recent modeling shows our own solar system is tucked in a corner of the Milky Way galaxy, and the Milky Way galaxy is tucked in a corner of a supercluster of galaxies known as Laniakea, and Laniakea is just one piece of a web of superclusters that make up the known universe. We might not be at the center of this universe, but the creator of it is at the center of ours. Amen.